Nice to see everybody. Thank you all for coming this nice Sunday in North Carolina. And again, we'd like to welcome one of my old friends, Jaya Jagadish. We spent years together in South America and in other places too, enduring the greatest austerities that we cannot even talk about. And you know, Adi Atmik, Adi Daivik, Adi Bodhik, and Adi Sannyasik. But that's an inside joke that I can't tell anyone. Anyway, I won't tell you what it means. Anyway, so we're going to have a little class in the Bhagavad Gita tonight, and we only had to 5:45 since Aditya Narayan Prabhu was going to be making some announcements about the Sankirtan Bhadra Purnima program. And normally I'd be speaking from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I'm giving class every night in the Chaitanya Charitamrita online at 5 to 6 o'clock. But this evening we're not going to give a class on the Chaitanya Charitamrita because we're at a specific point in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where we're dealing with the intimate loving exchanges of Radha and Krishna. So I didn't think it would be appropriate for a Sunday program. So we're going to go to the Bhagavad Gita and talk about determination today, which is actually really important. Because nowadays you don't find people so determined. Of course, first we'll chant Jai Radha Madhava. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopidana balaba girivaru dagore. Gopidana balaba girivaru dagore. Yasoda nandana brajajana randana Yasoda nandana brajajana randana Yamuna tirabana chalti Yamuna te ramana chalti Jai Radha Madhava Kunyavikagave Jai Radha Madhava Kunyabi Kavuri Gopi Jana Palagumba Kiribaru Dahuri Gopi jana balabha kiri paradhavri Yasoda nandana prajadana ranjana Yasoda nandana prajadana ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanatyalore. Yamuna Tira Vanatyalore. Jai Hurad Bhadhuva Kunavihadri. Jai Radhu Madhava Kunavihadri. Jai Om Vishnupad Padamahamsa Paravatakacharya. Also Tara Satashi Shimad, His Divine Grace Sabaya. Chalanada Bhaktivananda Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Say Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopikopatna Shyam Kund Radhakund Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavanam Ki Jai. Maturadam Ki Jai. Jagadatha Sami Ki Jai. Yamanamai Ki Jai. Srimati Lassi Devi Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Gaur Premananda Haribol. All glorious assemble devotees. All glorious assemble devotees. All glorious assemble devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Teja Tarni. So as I mentioned, we're going to talk about determination. And I'm going to read a verse from the Bhagavad Gita that talks about determination. It's in the second chapter, Bhagavad Gita, text 41, if you want to read along. So I'll just read the Sanskrit and the English. Vyavasyatmika buddhiyo rekeha kudunandana bhavashyakatanantascha buddhiyo vyavasayinam. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one, O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. So Prabhupada's purport, a strong faith that by Krishna consciousness one will be elevated to the highest perfection of life is called Vyavasayatmika intelligence. The Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majalila 22:62 states, Sradasabde Vishasakahe Sudrida Nishya Krishne Bhakti Kaile Sarva Karma Kritahoy. Faith means unflinching trust in something sublime. When one is engaged in the duties of Krishna consciousness, he need not act in relation to the material world with obligations to family traditions, humanity, or nationality. Fruitive activities are the engagement of one's reaction from past good or bad deeds. When one is awake in Krishna consciousness, he no longer endeavors for good results in his activities. When one is situated in Krishna consciousness, all activities are on the absolute plane, for they are no longer subject to dualities like good or bad. The highest perfection of Krishna consciousness is renunciation of a material conception of life. This state is automatically achieved by progressive Krishna consciousness. Now, I'm not going to read the whole purport because we only have a short amount of time, but I'm going to talk about determination. Now, one thing about determination that we should understand is you're not going to accomplish anything in this world unless you are determined to accomplish something. If you're, as Krishna says here in the verse, Baho Shakta Chwanantascha, if you're all over the place, then you're really not going to accomplish anything material or spiritual. And the first-class example of determination, real determination I can think of, is that of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada showed his one point of determination in carrying out the order of his spiritual master. Oftentimes, we think of spiritual life as something that's very amorphous or something that's very vague or something that's very sentimental. But actually, to progress in spiritual life, one needs to be determined, just like one needs to be determined in material life. So what is that determination? I mean, what are you supposed to be determined with or for? And Srila Prabhupada showed that determination was in following the order of the spiritual master. So you may say, what does the order of the spiritual master have to do with spiritual life? That's a very interesting question. Well, it has everything to do with spiritual life because Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, speaks to us through his representatives on this earth. And there's this interesting statement, Atakshi Krishna Namadi Navavet Grayamindriyai, that with our present senses, we don't really know what Krishna is telling us. I mean, we could read what Krishna is telling us, but as far as right now, what am I supposed to do? What duties am I supposed to carry out? I mean, if you read the Bhagavad Gita, you think you're supposed to be a fighter. You may apply it. I mean, of course, you're supposed to fight for Krishna in one sense, but we're not supposed to go out there in the battlefield with our bows and arrows, especially bows and arrows nowadays. You should probably use something a little bit more formidable than bows and arrows if you're going to be fighting. So we're not supposed to go out with our bows and arrows in the battlefield. You know, Arjuna, you know, he's carrying out his specific responsibility under the order of his spiritual master. But the spiritual master's duty is to carry out the order of his spiritual master, and then he gives instructions to his disciples or shishas according to time, place, and circumstance and the shishas' psychophysical nature. Because everybody's different. Even in the same situation, every single jiva soul has a different nature. As Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, his nature was as a kshatriya. So Krishna's instruction to Arjuna was very specific in regard to the circumstance, in regard to his nature, in regard to the place that he was. Everything was very specific. So going back to Srila Prabhupada's example, Srila Prabhupada got the instruction from his spiritual master when he was in his 20s that he should preach Krishna consciousness in English in the Western world. And so you think, you know, that's the instruction. Actually, Prabhupada said that he never asked his spiritual master any questions other than what? How can I serve you? So from that point onward, I mean, I can't expect that sort of determination with anyone else, but from that point onward, but Prabhupada's our exemplar, our example. From that point onwards, Prabhupada just focused like razor sharp on that particular instruction. And even though he was doing business, his purpose of doing business was to carry out the order of his spiritual master. His purpose of doing business was to make money so that he could print books and he could carry out the order of his spiritual master. And Prabhupada tried different strategies. Some strategies worked. Other strategies did not work. Like Prabhupada's business ultimately failed. But the strategy, the work, was not a failure. You know, sometimes people think in spiritual life that you try something, you try something, you try something, and you're a failure. You're never a failure. There's no loss or diminution. In material life, if you're just engaged in material life, sorry about this, I don't want to discourage anyone, you're always a failure. I apologize beforehand about it. You're always a failure because whatever you get, you lose, ultimately. It's like that myth of Sisyphus. Some of you don't know this. This is actually from Greek mythology. Greek mythology is very interesting, not because it's the absolute truth, but because they present certain stories that help us understand certain philosophical points. There's this guy, his name is Sisyphus. Don't worry about it. You don't have to remember. This is not part of the Bhakti Shastri test. But he was punished. He went to HELL. You know. And, you know, we also have HELL described in our Vedic literatures, too. There's stuff like this going on. which is really interesting. Sad, but interesting. You can get out of it just by chanting Hare Krishna. All you got to do is chant Hare Krishna, and you don't have to go to H-E-double-L. But this Sisyphus, he didn't chant Hare Krishna. He didn't chant his rounds for some reason. You know, he broke the regulator principles, didn't chant his rounds. You know, he's a rascal. So he went to hell. So his punishment was that he had to roll a stone, up a mountain. Then, after a few seconds in eternity, then the stone would roll down. And then he would roll it up again. And then it would roll down. And he would roll it up again. And it would roll down. You know the saying, been there, seen it, done it? Can you imagine doing that a few billion times? Pretty boring. Well, guess what? You've done it. Yeah, we've been born. We get trained up by our parents, right? Hopefully trained up. We go to school, worry about tests, get traumatized by the teachers, traumatized by our parents when we don't get good enough marks. Our parents insist that we go to medical school. And we spend so many years, and then have to take care of all the COVID patients in the hospital. And then we start over again. Oh, my God. I mean, at least if you're going to invest in something you want it to increase. Just like sometimes people invest in this Bitcoin thing, right? And they're getting really nervous. It's going to the bottom's going to drop out because the government's going to declare it to be illegal. So it's just like anxiety all the time. Well, I don't know what's going to happen with Bitcoin. That's not my point. But life is like that. You know, up and down. It's like a roller coaster. You're riding the wave or riding the whatever it is. And so in spiritual life, you're never a failure. Even if you try something and externally it doesn't work. It's not a failure. So Prabhupada, getting back to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada was trying to do business to make money for book. So you may think he was unsuccessful. No, he wasn't a failure. Because his activity was Vyavasayatmika Buddhir Ekehakurananda. He was one-pointed, trying to serve his spiritual master, trying to serve Krishna, because the spiritual master speaks on behalf of Krishna. You know, we do not have a direct line with the Supreme Personality of Godhead right now, because we are covered up. That reminds me of a joke. One time, a pure devotee went to Rome to visit the Pope, and he said, can I borrow your phone to call God? And he said, I'll pay you back because it's long distance. And the Pope went to visit the pure devotee in Vrindavan, and he said, can I borrow your phone to call God? And he said, I'll pay you back. And the pure devotee said, no, it's actually a local call. So we don't know. If we think we know what God is saying to us right now, that's pretty proud. So therefore, we have God's representative who tells us, you know, what God is saying right now. So Prabhupada took that order. Yes, the business didn't work out. Tried some other things. Didn't work out. He went to a place called Jhansi. Didn't work out. But still, he was fulfilling the order of his spiritual master. Ultimately, he loses all of his money. His friends are not interested in him. Of course, Prabhupada is reciting this verse, Yashaham anugrinami harishe tadanam shanai. For those who I especially favor, I take away everything. And simply, people reject them, and then they end up just chanting Hare Krishna and being happy. So I'm not saying that's going to happen to anyone here, so don't worry. But so anyway, so Prabhupada remains determined, then even gets on a steamship to come to America, has heart attacks, two heart attacks on the steamship coming over, and he's still just very determined. Krishna reassures him by letting him have a vision of Krishna in his various incarnations, rowing the boat. And then Prabhupada comes to America. He's all alone, sits down in a park and chants Hare Krishna with faith in the holy name. Simply determined, because Prabhupada said the success potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is in the order of the spiritual master, and Prabhupada was very fixed on that and would often think of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on these, in this particular verse of the Bhagavad Gita, talking about the same principle. So that to me is the best example of determination. And there's other examples too that we have in the Vedic literature, like Grandfather Bhishma's determination. He took a vow, Akhanda Brahmachari, the Kumara's determination. They also took a vow or whatever. And so many examples of determination. So the question is, actually, how can we be so determined? You know, it's a very interesting question, because we don't find ourselves so determined. Of course, that is because, if we analyze it exactly, for several different reasons. One is that our determination is actually influenced by the three modes of nature. There are three modes of nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance. And in ignorance, you got no determination. I mean, if someone was purely in ignorance, they probably wouldn't even wake up. Of course, I've been just visiting the university campus in Raleigh, and I could understand what that means. You know, I'm getting up early in the morning, and people are just rolling. You know, as I'm walking on the streets early in the morning, the students are just rolling on the sidewalks, and I have to step over them like Prabhupada did in the Bowery. I haven't had to step over them yet. They're usually on someone's front lawn rolling around. So, but I'm sure it'll come to that eventually. So that's the mode of ignorance, where your determination never goes beyond dreaming. You know, tomorrow I'll do my homework. Tomorrow, whatever. It's like procrastination. And then some people are very determined in the mode of passion, but for material things, you know, to make a lot of money, to acquire new things. And in the mode of goodness, we actually find real determination, because it's based upon self-realization or a higher goal. So the point about determination is that one has to have a goal. One has to have a value in life. Otherwise, one's activities, especially in spiritual life, will not be consistent. Because, as you know, we who are engaged in spiritual life have some promises or vows that we've made, right? I think so. Like 16 rounds, you know, four regulated principles, doing different things like that, serving, of course, serving Krishna with one's life, offering one's food to Krishna. And in order to keep these promises, we have to see beyond the promises to the reason for the promises. And I often call this the why. Because if we're not thinking of why we're doing what we're doing in spiritual life or anything, then it becomes something that's described in Sanskrit as niyam agraha, rituals. And I'm sure you all know what rituals are. Rituals are when you, there's nothing wrong with rituals. Because I'm not saying we shouldn't do any rituals. We should just, like, doesn't matter whether you put tilak on, or doesn't matter whether you tie whatever. I'm not saying that. But if we're just doing the rituals will actually disconnect us from our goal. We will just be acting, as I often say, on automatic pilot. Automatic pilot means that you just, like, your body's doing something and your mind is somewhere else. All right, let's take one of the most important activities. No, not the most important activity in spiritual life. It's not one of the most important activities. What's the most important activity in spiritual life? Chanting, right. Chanting, okay. So Arjuna says in the Bhagavad Gita, in the sixth chapter, Chanchalahi manaha krishna pramataya balabhadridam tashaham nigraham manye vayor iva shidushkaram. He says, our mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate, and it's more difficult than controlling the wind. Has anyone experienced that? No, I'm sure none of you have. Every day, every moment, and even as you're sitting here in class, you know, your mind is probably thinking, oh my God, when is Prashadam coming? This sounds like one of those old fanatic Hare Krishna classes. Anyway, so, yeah, because the mind goes all over the place. You know, in the first opportunity to be unfocused, you're unfocused. I mean, I had experience like driving a car. I was driving a car yesterday, and I put it on, autopilot. And it really was a struggle to keep myself focused on the road, knowing the car was going to drive itself. But I did keep my eyes on the road. But somehow or other, I did. So, chanchalahi mana. So it's more difficult than controlling the wind. So, but if one has an important goal, we call that a sankalpa, an intention, a goal, then it becomes easier to focus on that goal while you're doing what you're doing. And so the goal, like Prabhupada was focused, getting back to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada was focused on pleasing his spiritual master. You know, that was Prabhupada's focus. And that's actually proof also that Prabhupada was the greatest disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Because if the same order is given to many, many disciples, and one disciple just surrenders and does everything to do that, so that indicates the greatness, the determination of the disciple. So, but where does that determination to do that or follow that goal or sankalpa comes from? It comes from bhakti. That's why we talk about bhakti being much more potent, and Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, of course, says the same thing at the end of the sixth chapter. Yoginam api sarvesha madgatena antaratlanam shadavam bhajate yomam salna yuktatamo mataha. That of all types of yogis, the bhakti yogi is the topmost, because the energy of devotion is stronger than any other energy there is. That's really what Krishna is talking about here, and actually Prabhupada is also talking about in his purport. The energy of devotion, you know, love. You know, why am I doing this? Well, you could say, to satisfy the spiritual master. But then you get into another why. Why should I satisfy my spiritual master? Because I want to get liberated. That's not so interesting. I mean, maybe for you it is. But because I love my spiritual master, I want to satisfy it. Therefore, I love Krishna. Krishna says, you know, if you have a man and the man serves your child, or, well, I don't want to use it, but probably use the example, dog. That's how you get get the mercy of the master or the man. Let's say if you walk up to someone and you say, what a nice child you have. I really love your child. Not too much. But I, you got a great child. The mother will say, like Madhav, isn't it? If I say Madhav, oh, your child's the best in the three worlds. Then she'll say, whoa, you're the best guru in the three worlds. That's why politicians used to pick up babies before COVID and kiss them. So anyway, So that's the point. So Krishna consciousness, the energy of Krishna consciousness, the impetus for Krishna consciousness, for the determination, comes from bhakti. Now, how does one get that bhakti? You know, you can say, well, I don't really have that bhakti right now. Well, the reason you don't have that bhakti is because you are, or we're all, not you, me, we're all covered by the lower modes of nature. But that bhakti is the inherent quality of the soul. Krishna consciousness is the inherent quality of the soul. It just has to be awakened. It's like when you wake up in the morning, you remember who you are. I hope so. Maybe it takes about 20 minutes and a cup of coffee or something like that. The tea. And then you just, some people, you know, they remember who they are. It's that I'm not happy with who I am. And then they go back to sleep. So, but you remember who you are. So it's awakening. So the Maha Mantra, you know, Cheto Darpanam Arjanam Bhava Mahad Bhagni Nirvapanam, awakens one to that sense of bhakti, because that's the natural constitution of the soul. And so whether or not one believes it, it works. So what we're trying to do in Krishna, just like we had before this class, we had a japa session with everybody. Everybody was chanting japa together very slowly. I have a hard time with that, you know, chanting japa slowly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'm more like Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Like it's my speech, but I understand. I'm merciful. So with the Hare Krishna mantra, Cheto Darpanam Arjanam Bhava Mahad Bhagni Nirvapanam Chayakai Ravi Chandrakavi Taranam Abhijabhava Jivanam Ananda Muhyadanam Paribhadam Pranamrita Svadanam Sarvatma Snapanam Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtam. What it does, this is the first verse of Lord Chaitanya's Shikshastika, it actually cleanses your heart so you can really understand who you are. Because right now we don't have that determination for spiritual life. Yes, we have the determination for material life because we really want something. I want that house. You know, I was just speaking to one girl. She says, I want that boy. I said, but he may not want you. She's very determined. I mean, I'm just like, wow, I wish I was so determined to be Krishna conscious. So that's passion. You know, I'm sure you've seen a lot of Bollywood movies where someone is very determined. He'll just like Prabhupada. There's this one person who became a great devotee, Bilba Mangal Thakur. He wanted to be with his girlfriend. This is in India. This is not an American story. So his girl, it was the middle of the night, and it was a storm, a hurricane, Katrina. And so, something like that. And so, it was flooding in the streets of New Orleans. But anyway, so I'm not going to say he swam across the Mississippi River. But anyway, it was a storm, and there was lightning and thunder and floods, and he just couldn't keep himself from his girlfriend. So he swims across this river, grabs onto what he thinks is a log, but it's a dead body, and he climbs up the trellis, you know, and he's climbing on the ropes, and it's actually snakes, you know, they're up there. It's India, of course. And he finally, you know, disheveled, and his face is all scratched up, and his body is all scratched up, and he gets to the door of his girlfriend. And she's thinking, who is coming at this time of the night? She opens the door a crack. You know, there's a little chain on the door. She says, Bilba Mangal! What? If you were so determined to be with Krishna, you'd be a pure devotee by now. Actually, there's a similar story with Tulsi Das, too, which I'm not going to tell right now. But, and he says, You're right. He snaps to it and goes to Vrindavan at that particular point. So yes, in the mode of passion, we have this great determination for prestige, money, houses, cars, girlfriends, boyfriends, the perfect husband, perfect wife, doesn't exist. So, or someone even wants to take sannyas, so they get appreciation, That's one of the motivations, or a lot of mahaprasadam. That's the motive. It's not a good reason for taking sannyas. Really bad reason. So it's necessary to cleanse the influence of the modes of nature, because that's really what's covering us. Karanam guna sangasya sadasa janma jonishu. The cause of our entanglement is guna sangha. So instead of guna sangha, that's why Lord Chaitanya said, asat sangha tyagi vaishnavachar, that a Vaishnava, someone who wants to proceed in spiritual life, you got to decide if you want to proceed in spiritual life. If you don't, that's fine. That's really fine. You have my blessings to try to make it materially, because, you'll learn after a few thousand lifetimes. But if you want to really proceed in spiritual life, then mamchiyo bhyavicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatichaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One has to get rid of the influence of the other modes of nature, the coverings of the heart that have been accumulated for many lifetimes in this world, because we have a subtle body. The subtle body, linga sharira, is sometimes called the astral body. And the subtle body is accumulating all the impressions that we've had for many lifetimes. Just like you had so many impressions in this lifetime, therefore you like certain foods. If I mention some sweet that you ate when you were a kid, like, what is it? Mysore pop. What? Oreo cookies, yeah, anyway. I saw some devotees just like exhibit symptoms of ecstasy. That's because of conditioning. We're conditioned souls. And nothing wrong with that. I have nothing against jalebis or mysopaka or pakoras or halva or sweet rice or anything like that. I'm not preaching against those things. I'm just saying we're conditioned. We have memories. So we have memories from past lives. So the whole point is to ceto dharpana marjanam, to cleanse the mirror of the heart. And then what naturally awakens is love. Wow. And also, yastu sarvani bhutani atmane vanupashati sarva bhuteshu chatmanam tato nirvigi gupshate. When you love Krishna and the spiritual master, you actually begin to love everybody, which is really nice, because everyone's connected. Our animosities that we have between genders or races or nationalities is all based upon the bodily platform. It's all based on the mode of passion. So we come to the mode of goodness, transcendental goodness, clearing away sagunan samati chaitan. And then that's the Brahman platform. And then, at that point, you can really be determined for spiritual life and not just material things. And of course, you also take care of your material things nicely. But then the idea is, then you become happy. Because the problem with the mode of passion is what? Does anyone know what the Bhagavad Gita says, happiness is the mode of passion? Yeah, and in the beginning, it's like nectar, too. This is nectar. I remember when I was a new devotee about 75 years ago, me and Jai Jagadish used to eat a lot of ice cream. Remember? He even made his own ice cream. I used to go down to his room. We had this ice cream machine. We would enjoy like anything. So when you eat a lot, and I remember in the early days, I would eat so much. I followed Prabhupada's instructions of eating so much it comes up to the neck. That was the one instruction of Srila Prabhupada that I took most seriously in my Krishna consciousness. So, but then I had some distress afterwards. And everyone told me that distress was purification. You're getting purified, Prabhu. So the point is that that's the passionate things. You get, you may get what your goal is. You may be very determined in getting your goal, but it causes you distress. But in the mode of goodness, you get spiritual life, kevalananda kanda. It's only happiness. It's only happiness. Like, in a few minutes, Dichen Ryan Prabhu is going to talk about distributing books. And when one goes out and distributes books, one experiences, right, isn't it? So much happiness. When I used to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books many, many years ago, I remember it was so much happiness. These are the happiest days of my life. And also, myself and Jaya Jagadish worked in producing Prabhupada's books in Spanish, isn't it? Wasn't it blissful? It was extremely blissful. And so that's where happiness comes from. One time in Los Angeles, we were producing 17 books in 2 months for Srila Prabhupada, and everybody was giving up their eating and sleeping and mating and defending, hopefully. And it was the happiest time of my life. So that's spiritual life, when you're connected with Krishna. The word Krishna means the most attractive person who gives you ananda or bliss. Krish, attract. Na, ananda or bliss. And that's Krishna consciousness. So gradually we should be cultivating this mode of goodness. It comes by chanting the Lord's holy names, which is non-different from Krishna. Namachintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigra. And then you not only become happy, but you realize who you are. You realize your spiritual identity in the spiritual world. And then you're so much aloof from the problems of this world, like COVID, that they don't really bother you anymore. So anyway, so that's determination. I want to keep it short because Dichen Ryan Prabhu asked me, because we have some book distribution results to announce for the deities. So thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So you ready? Okay. So Dichen Ryan is in charge of our preaching here, which is the most important activity. And because of his hard work, we have so many nice devotees here and so many nice festivals. And he's fulfilling Srila Prabhupada and his spiritual master's desire to bring people to Krishna consciousness. We very much want to appreciate it, Dichen Ryan Prabhu. Okay.
Hare Krishna. So let's thank Maharaj. You get such a perfect class for our offering today, talking of Srila Prabhupada's determination about goal. Such a wonderful class. So let's first of all thank His Holiness Bhikrishna Goswami Maharaj.